right. Well, we are right here this afternoon. Here we have another contender in the across the table from me right here this afternoon. I'm talking to Victor Coher, and he is a candidate for the U.S. Senate. He is actually running against Lindsey Graham here today. So you are with the Libertarian Party.
That's correct.
Huh. Was that like live free or die?
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah,
Well, that's that's New Hampshire's.
We believe in small, limited government, and we like to err towards the individual more than giving power to the state. So,
okay, well, you know, one of my first questions would then be, if you like small, limited government.
Yes.
In truth, do you think there is any way to reduce the size of government in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I don't quite sure if I'll ever see it in my total life to get to where I want it to be in my lifetime, but we have to start somewhere. And we've been seeing like we've been on this path for the last 100 years. And, you know, and it just seems like it just gets worse and worse. And so, and you know, we do have like Rand Paul out there and Ted Cruz and stuff like people like that who are putting out the liberty message. But here in South Carolina, it seems like our senior senator keeps, you know, mocking those people and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, this guy doesn't represent me. Mm-hmm. And I just saw what was going to happen, what I felt was going to happen in the Republican primary. So I just said, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and throw my hat in the ring and see what happens.
Sure.
So,
well, you know, personally, I'll just tell you this, Victor. I was hoping when they had there had been a runoff. I was really hoping for a runoff. And I only had one selfish reason because of this. Because as a radio owner, I like getting Lindsey's money. Just tell you the truth, okay? I mean, this is commercialism. And yes, he advertises on our station to get the votes. And darn, I was just so disappointed when there wasn't a runoff. But anyways, well, part of my question is, do you think that Washington, D.C., the federal government has become so overblown, this is actually my belief, that it has taken on a life of its own?
Well, I feel it got to the point where they just don't feel like they need to be held accountable for anything. And that's what, you know, with the IRS and
Scandal City,
now with the CDC and stuff like that, you're like, who's in charge and who's handling these people, you know, making these people be accountable? And I think sometimes our federal employees forget that they swore an oath to the Constitution. Well, not even the CDC, but the NSA. You know, and it just seems like you all swore an oath to this Constitution. And it seems like the people in Congress don't seem to care to, you know, monitor that, maybe because they're not following their oath to the Constitution anymore.
Maybe so. You know, but I wonder if we actually moved Washington, D.C. and started over somewhere else. You know, Mike.
You don't move a bankrupt entity. You know, that's.
Well, you know, I think they would probably do okay. But Mike Huckabee on one of his shows once said that he thought maybe moving it to Nashville and starting over would be a better idea than continuing, because I personally don't see how we can cut a large bureaucratic government that we have now.
Well, yeah, I feel that term limits could possibly be one way, and also with the internet and all that stuff, they don't really need to be in Washington as long as they are now. I mean, they can do all their votes from home, and they can just go to Washington, D.C. for their committee meetings and do their, you know, and stuff like that. So,
well, a lot of businesses have learned to deal that way.
Well, that's right.
That's right, so, with FaceTime and this type of
true.
Thing.
That's true.
Exactly. But I don't see how you get from point A to point B, I guess.
Well,
you
look at this point A to point Z. I mean, and what it is, you have to go from, to get from A to Z, you have to go start going B, C, D, and E, all through that.
Sure.
So, and actually one of the things I believe, and I've been saying this in my campaign, I don't believe we need an IRS since we have each state has a tax department.
Mm-hmm.
And you pretty much are doing the same. I'm a small business. Well, I was I have to start talking in past tense. I was a small businessman. Mm-hmm. And I filled out all these forms.
Right.
And I filled out for the federal, and then I pretty much did the same thing for the state. And I said, why the duplication?
Actually, you filled it out for the federal, and then you
filled it out for the state. Yeah. So, and you know, it's like, why is this why for the duplication? All we have to do is just collect money twice. Send it all to the state, and then have the state send it up to the federal government. So that way you get at least one level of bureaucracy out of the way.
Yes, but who would monitor the Affordable Care Act if we did that? I mean, the IRS is in charge of that.
I believe that's a little bit unconstitutional, too, but, you know, we won't, you know.
But I'm just...
That's
I'm
another
just
animal, that, and hopefully we can change that since it's not really so far into the that development. So.
Yeah, I think sometimes you can, but also once you start something like a program like this, is very hard because even though the people fight against it, eventually they become complacent and say, well, it's a better than having nothing.
I understand that. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Now, where are you from originally, Victor?
I'm originally from a little town called Reeder, West Virginia. I grew up there. It's a rural community. We learned how to volunteer. We had a volunteer fire department. We had a volunteer EMS service and stuff like that. And, you know, and we just learned how, you know, the community actually didn't have a local government.
And no town council.
No town council. And we just volunteered to do everything. And when they need to raise money to buy fire engines and stuff like that, we just went to the town people and we collected the money until we got what we needed. And also, we built our own fire department stuff up there with, you know, the donations and stuff.
Wow. So how small a community was it, though?
Well, the town I lived in had population at the time was 500.
That's small.
That's small. And then another town that held the high school had 750. Yeah, it was a small rural communities.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then how did you end up in South Carolina?
Well, my brother, who's an eye surgeon, he's an ophthalmologist. He started studying after graduating from WVU Medical Center. He went down there to learn ophthalmology in Columbia, and he stayed there. And then my second oldest brother, who's a dentist, moved down there and started bought out a practice and started practicing in Columbia. And then the second youngest brother, is an electrical engineer from Michelin. So, and I guess I followed the, you know.
Wow. Okay. Family. So you all have migrated down here.
That's correct.
Oh wow.
We love the winters down here. So.
How about your parents?
My father is 90 years old, and he stayed up there. You know, they stay up there. And my mother is 85.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, and what have you done? I mean, what has been your vocation in life?
Well, I have a master's degree in professional accountancy and from West Virginia University. And when I got down here, the family decided to go into take over a pawn shop. Mm-hmm. And it's called Palmetto Golden Pawn. And we started out with one shop, and I expanded it up to seven. Now my nephews took it over as of April 1st.
April Fool's Day. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've been doing that for about 28 years, and that's where I got my sometimes what I call distaste for government, because, you know, I had to deal with a bunch of bureaucracies and dealing with some bureaucracies. It's like, you know, now where did you get this from, and you know, and why are you doing this? And then you start putting the pressure on, and you find out that they were just doing that just to make you jump through hoops for no reason at all. And, you know, and when you start holding them accountable, they kind of back up a little bit. So,
So that had to have been an interesting business.
It was, yes. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, but you're a young guy. You could still be doing that.
I'm 52 years old.
Now you're a young guy.
As I said, you could
still be doing that.
Yeah. Well, it's time to, you know, after a while, after being in it for 28 years, I think it's time to start looking for other things to do. And I'm venturing out, getting some ideas. So,
all right. What made you decide to run for the Senate?
Well, as I said before, that I just feel that sometimes I don't think Lindsey Graham represents South Carolina. And then when I look at the Democratic candidate, I say, you know, well, that don't represent me either. And mm-hmm. and finally, as in at the filing time period for parties was between March 15th and March 30th. So I decided, you know, who represent me more who can represent me more than myself. So I just went ahead and threw my hat and ring, and you know, I'm getting a small following. So see what happens.
So how have you enjoyed campaigning?
Oh yes, it allows me to go all over the state, and I get to go through, you know, get off the interstates and stuff like that, and be able to, you know, see what I call the real South Carolina.
Absolutely. Hey, I tell you what, I'm here with Victor Coher. He is running for Senate. He is running against the one and only Lindsey Graham. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I'm in the studio right here in the back. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. I am talking with Victor Coher. He is running against Lindsey Graham. He is a member of the Libertarian Party here in South Carolina. And, Victor, you know, I wanted to ask you what particularly, what made you stand up and say, I'm going to run against Lindsey Graham?
Well, it was a process. I mean, at one time, Lindsey Graham was the darling of South Carolina. But it seems like when he got up to Washington, he just slowly started getting to not representing us. And I think I took offense to it when we started talking about amnesty, and he pretty much called us bigots. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. That's not representative government. I mean, you're supposed to represent us in Washington. You're not supposed to represent Washington to us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just like, I think he's been crossing the aisle too many times, and also with the advice and consent of the Senate for the judges on the Supreme Court. I don't follow his logic that because President Obama won the elections have consequences. I mean, if that's the case, then Lindsey's reelection will have consequences, because I'm sure there's going to be more people who are going to be put on the Supreme Court who doesn't really want to follow the Constitution. And that's why I'm looking at, we need to follow the Constitution. Everybody there took an oath to follow the Constitution, and we need to start making held accountable for that.
Sure. Well, you know, I think it's fine to say that elections have consequences, but in truth, if he wants to put somebody in his cabinet, that is the president's prerogative.
Well, that's the cabinet's one thing, but
right.
the Supreme Court is another.
What I was getting ready to say is, but the Supreme Court has long-range consequences.
But however, the person in charge of the Justice Department needs to understand that he's sworn up to the Constitution too, and he's got, you know, he just can't do anything willy-nilly he wants to do.
Are you talking about Eric Holder?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, okay. All right. I thought you were talking about Eric Holder.
Well, you said the name. I just, you know.
Oh, hey, I don't have any problem saying names. So
okay.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. But so what do you think about, you know, there's been a lot of talk about gun control and whether we should have gun control, how hard it should be to be able to own a gun. What is your position, Victor?
I am pro Second Amendment. I don't believe that, you know, being a pawn shop owner, and
yes.
I had to put people through background checks. I've seen how I call a false negative, where someone would actually pass a background check, but you know that, you know, they just not been caught yet.
Right.
So therefore, making everyone feeling good that everyone's passing background checks.
Should we have stiffer background checks?
No.
Guns should be in the hands of anybody that wants to own them.
Once somebody, has done their time, they should be able to protect their family and stuff like that. I mean, it's just because
felony criminals should be
Once they do their time, they should be allowed to. You know, I mean, my opponent can't get near a gun. I mean, that's his.
He can't get near a gun
because he's a convicted. You know, I don't want to bring that up, but see. His anybody within his family can't have guns in his premises. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, where do you, you know, how far do we take this? And we're finding out, even though we keep moving the ball down the field, we still got the problems. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think that's the answer anymore.
So you believe that there should be no background checks? It's not worthwhile?
No.
It's not worthwhile?
No.
Okay. So we all should just be able to go out and buy our guns. Should somebody have to pass any type of test or concealed weapon permits or any of that kind of stuff?
Second Amendment of the Constitution does not, it says, the rights of, people to bear arms shall not be infringed.
Okay. So, are you a member of the NRA?
I was.
You were? Okay.
But see, they, it's political. They choose not to evaluate libertarians, and I just recently found that out, and I was like, well, I can't. I am also a supporter of the Gun Owners of America, so I'm going to kind of go towards that group more now.
Oh, okay, all right. So everybody should be able to own guns. Now, the problem is everybody should be able to own guns, even people that are mentally unstable.
Well, who turns around and judges that? I mean, that's the point. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got to the point where they're starting to judge veterans now to be mentally unstable. I mean, they're asking questions. The VA is asking questions whether they have guns in their homes. And sure. Why are they asking that? Who judges that? And that's what scares me, Ann.
Okay.
Now, if everyone was like me, maybe we'll start talking about it. But, you got people out there who wants to go so far to extreme. And, if we can trust these veterans to have guns when they were, fighting for us, I feel that we can trust them, in civilian life. Mm-hmm. But that question is being asked down. It scares me.
I understand. I've heard that. And there doesn't really seem to be much reason for that question. Okay. So, we have covered Second Amendment rights. You are definitely in favor of everybody who wants to have a gun should have a gun. Should we have to register?
The right of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed.
Okay. All right.
Strict
Constitution.
That's a strict. I'm going by the Constitution, Anne.
Okay. All right.
Then that's supposed. And everybody swore to uphold that document.
Okay. All right. I like it. Okay. All right. All right, see, this is going to be easy. If we just went by the Constitution, everything would be easy, right?
I would think so.
You would think so. All right. Now, we come up with taxes here, okay? Now, what is your feeling? You feel that we should just repeal the 16th Amendment. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because?
Well, actually, I guess I'm going to put myself in, we got time to talk about this.
We got time to talk. That's why I do this.
We have the 13th Amendment says that there shall not be any involuntary servitude.
Okay.
Then,
paying taxes, that puts you indebted to the IRS. Yeah, maybe you're right.
So sometimes I think about, did they repeal the 13th Amendment with the 16th Amendment? Because if they get to the point where they start taxing at 100%, to me that is slavery.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I think that, I kind of play these little mental games with myself sometimes, and I just feel that someone's production should not be taxed. Now, their consumption, that's another thing.
So you'd be more for a national sales tax?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Or
until we...
Excise tax, maybe?
Well, I prefer to have a national... We're in debt.
Right.
Okay? We need to get out of that debt. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we get out of debt, we can just keep lowering and lowering that rate. Until it's down to bare minimum.
Right. Well, I mean, there would always be need for funds because we have to keep the militia, the army, et cetera.
Also got the government back to where it should be constitutionally, I think don't need all those funds to do it either.
Right. So. Okay. All right. So we're going to repeal the 16th Amendment. We're going to have guns. You know what? You're right. We've taken care of everything here today. The likelihood of getting all these things done, though, Victor, I think is very, very small. But anyways, right now it is time for us to hear a word from South Carolina Radio News. We'll be back. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe Cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. It's Thursday afternoon, October 16th. There's not a lot of time left for Victor Coher, which is my very special guest today. He is a Libertarian candidate running against Lindsey Graham. Hopes to be victorious. Victor, victorious. Yes, isn't that an interesting combination of a name? But, Victor, I know that... This has to be a very uphill battle for you.
Oh, definitely, yes. But however, it is a four-way race, and Lindsey is not polling above 50%. Brad Hutto's polling about 28%, and there's a lot of people who are still not sure about, you know. And I was kind of taken aback when I saw that 19% of the people still not have made a choice yet. So anything's possible.
There's one rule, though, that is kind of hard to break, the golden rule one, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the golden mixer rule.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, with social media and stuff like that, those rules are being broken at times, you know. So, and it's a new day is coming in, you know, and I'm not going to say it's going to be happening tomorrow, but, you know, trends are changing, and with social media, it's easier to get your word out there and stuff like that.
What did you think about Eric Cantor being defeated?
Well, I was kind of glad to see it happen.
I figured you would, yeah.
I mean, I hate to say someone, you know, wish bad on them, but, you know, when you get to Washington, you start, you know, arrogance starts kicking in and stuff like that, you know, it's time for, you know, that's why I'm for term limits.
Okay. You know, what do you believe in far as term limits?
Well, there's two proposals out there. I believe that the senators should be limited to two terms. That's 6 years, so that's 12 years for them. And I've seen one saying give the House of Representatives 12 years by allowing them 6 terms.
Right.
And then I've seen another one saying only allow them to have 3 terms, and that would be 6 years. When you get to that far, you're going to have a constitutional amendment to do so. So I'm not going to split hairs. I want the term limits, and I've seen the senators down to only two terms. That'd be great, and you know, then we'll work out the Congress part. So,
you know, there's some pretty good benefits to being either a senator or a congressperson. I mean, you retire with some pretty good benefits.
Yes. Yeah.
But what do you think about all those benefits for if you had term limits? You know, you don't have to serve very long to get those benefits.
I don't think it's fair, and it's working off the backs of the working people in the United States, and you know.
Well, I agree with you.
And it's just, but that's you know. You know, that's another battle and all that stuff that we have to work on. And to me, the lobbyists in Washington, as soon as they get out of government, they go into lobbying.
They're still staying in Washington.
You need to come home.
Yeah.
Okay? Live with the laws that you enacted. So.
Right. Okay. All right. But I just find that amazing that there's not very long that one has to serve to retire with a government pension or retirement, whatever you want to call it.
Well, that seems to be in Washington and also in Columbia, too. So.
Exactly. All right. Well, one of my other questions would be, how come, have you ever run for any other office before?
Actually, I ran for U.S. Senate in 2002, believe it or not, against Lindsey Graham.
Did you?
And Alex Sanders and, let's see, what's the Constitution Party, Ted Adams.
Okay.
Yeah.
How'd you do there?
Oh, I got 0.6%.
0.6%. Wow.
But you know, that's considering at the time it was just, you know, that was a clean slate. I mean, everyone, you know, forget who was retiring from that. I think it was Strom Thurmond was retiring from that, and it just seemed like, you know, hey, go ahead and do it and see what happens. So.
Okay, but you haven't had any other offices that you've held?
No, I haven't.
Not
held
county council or school boards or anything like that?
No, but I've been politically active in watching what's going on and trying to, you know, educate people what their government's doing to them and stuff like that.
Sure.
So
that's a big step.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
It is a big step.
Yeah.
I'm just always curious because.
But see, I look at I'm the common man. I mean, I'm not a political career politician, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm just a common man, and I'd like to get some common voice back into Washington. So.
Yeah, well, I think we definitely need it. It's
and you won't know what you can do until you try.
Well, you're right. So, you're right. You know,
and one way to lose is not to try.
You can't win if you don't put your hat in the ring.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Well, what kind of response have you had from people?
Oh, I've been, especially after the Republican primary, I've been getting a lot of positive response, and it's just and I was hoping for the runoff too because I wasn't quite prepared for all the attention as soon as that was over. But, being mentioned in the national news and stuff like that, and have friends call me up, say, I heard your name on national news and what's going on. So, and it's an interesting, and I'm learning a lot through the process.
Sure. Okay, well, we've talked about the Second Amendment rights. We've talked about taxes. You've got down here about abortion. What's your stand on abortion?
I put that in there because I got constantly questioned on it on my Facebook account, and so I decided to go ahead and put that on my website. And it's a long detail, and they can go to my website, victorforsenate.us, and it's under issues, and they can look for it. I'm pro-life, with exceptions for life of the mother.
I understand. So that takes care of that one. And then immigration. This is the biggie to me.
Okay. I come at a different angle on this. I don't think we have an immigration problem. We have a naturalization problem. People are already here. We just need to get into the system. And I see you.
So
see,
we should grant amnesty.
No,
to
I did not say that. I did not say that. I believe if we change our tax code from a income tax to a consumption tax, then everybody who's in this country, when they consume, will be paying a tax.
Sure.
And then with the fair tax, they give a prebate, what they call it prebate, but it's a rebate for the essential services that you need, food and all that stuff. It gives that, if you give that to the citizens only, that will give this incentive to the people who are here to become citizens.
Aren't they already getting services?
Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm looking, and that should be done away with too.
Okay. I figured you might believe in that.
I believe we should close our borders until we get a handle on all this stuff. And then at that time, we will only allow the people who are in that are not, going to destroy America, it's not going to be a threat.
I just think we have all these people that haven't paid the price to become citizens of the United States.
Like I said, I look at this as a naturalization problem. They're here already. We just got to get them naturalized.
So what's the difference between naturalization and amnesty?
Well, they still have to go through the process. And we're not going to say, they have to, with what I want to do, with elimination of the income tax and stuff like that, that brings them, they're starting being taxed like everybody else would be. Right now, they're in the underground, in an underground economy.
Sure.
And I don't believe once they do become citizens, they would come out of that underground economy. They might have some, but the incentive there is to come out of that underground economy is not there. And to me, with the fair tax and the prebates of the fair tax, that would give an incentive for people to get, become citizens.
So we could afford to have all these citizens.
Well, I know that sometimes Americans not taking the jobs that, they should be taking.
Right.
And, this is a free market economy. And you can't. To me, if you get rid of the welfare benefits and all that stuff, another thing too, I've answered a questionnaire from one of the stations in the upstate. They was asking me about my welfare position. I don't believe that welfare benefits should pay more than what they make on minimum wage. And actually, I pretty much said 90% of the minimum wage, a 40 hour minimum wage job, 90% of that. So that gives them people the incentive to get in the workforce.
Excuse me. I tell you what, I got a frog. We'll be right back. back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Ah, that's right. I'm back. I hope I'm going to stay here. That's right. I'm Ann Eller, and I am here with Victor Coher here today. Victor, we were just talking about illegal immigration, what to do about the situation. And, you know, I want you to explain to the people one more time what you're actually saying, because I'm not sure even that I understand it. So would you like to go through that again?
Well, I mean, there's several things here we talked to during break. Yeah, it's not that I want to give them amnesty. I want them to go through the process of becoming citizens. And to me, if you switch the tax code from income to consumption, everybody will pay a tax when they consume. When they go to Walmart and buy things, everybody will do that. Mm-hmm. But the prebate will only go back to citizens who get money back for the essentials of, you know, at property level. So that gives these people who are here, already here, mm-hmm. incentive to become citizens. That's number one. And during the break, we were talking about all the children coming across the border.
And
I like to put my opinion out there. There's two things we can do. We can take care of the children and then lower the foreign aid that we were given to those countries. That's number one. Or we can have the children, take them to the embassies to the country where they came from and say, you deal with them, you get them back home.
Okay.
You know,
that's an interesting idea.
So, yeah, I've always learned years ago that sometimes you have to look at things from another angle to get mm-hmm. the answers. And, you know, and I'm just letting people know there are other answers out there. We don't have to accept the answers they're giving to us from government.
Now, what about the borders? Should the borders be sealed?
Well, we do have... What do you mean by that?
I mean, we shouldn't have illegals coming into the country. Our borders are very porous. That's, on the southern side, they're coming right through, left and right.
Okay, and to me, I believe that we should have a border, make sure this does not happen.
Okay.
Okay.
Whether it's border, whether it's people or a fence or whatever.
Right, right.
Okay.
And, you know, it's, and I just don't understand it, I have doors on my house.
Well, the White House doesn't even lock their doors now.
Well,
we saw that.
It just seems like that you just don't allow people to come through your windows and stuff like that. If someone starts coming through your window, I'm going to shoot them.
Right.
All right.
Right. You're allowed to do that.
That's right.
Right.
So it's not, I'm just looking for, a better option here.
A better option.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so we should be able to, we should seal the border.
Yes.
That's number one.
And only allow people who are not a threat come through.
Okay. Now, one of the problems that I think we're developing is that when people used to immigrate to this country, they became Americans.
Yes.
I mean, we still would have our Chinese or our French or our... German or Italian,
right, right.
We'd have little Italy and places
My great-grandfather immigrated from Germany, but also during that time, there was no income tax system.
Yeah, but
the welfare system wasn't in place back then.
Absolutely.
It's just like,
But my point is, we are losing America. We are losing what America has stood for and the respect of people coming into our country and respecting the flag and respecting our country.
But I want to put something else out there. There is a worldwide libertarian movement, and they're adopting our values.
Okay.
Okay. So I see hope out there. I mean, we had a I forget how old she was, like 23-year-old girl from Russia, mm-hmm. who was at our national convention telling us about all she was doing, and she was getting under Putin's skin. And I'm like, well, if she can get under Putin's skin, I can run against Lindsey Graham.
Okay.
Right. It's starting to kick up that the younger generation starting to understand that big government's not helping them.
That's right. So, but no, I just think that we used to have a code, and you know, we were whatever nationality we were.
Right, that's right.
But we were Americans first.
That's correct.
And I think we're losing some of that, and I think that's a shame in our country.
Yeah, I understand.
And because we are losing that cohesiveness that brought us together as a country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, libertarians, what do you feel about what's going on over there in Iraq and Syria and all that? I mean, libertarians, aren't you the ones that say, don't get involved outside your own walls here?
Well, I would support helping the Kurds. It seems like the Kurds knows what's going on in their own land. They, I mean, you know, they know the area. They know the area better than I would.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that our State Department is blocking their oil sales and also blocking them for them to buy weapons. And I just can't understand that.
Okay.
And so, to me, self-defense is, you know, that's a natural right. Self-defense is a natural right.
Right.
And they should have that right to protect themselves. We shouldn't have somebody from clear across the world tell them what they can and cannot do. And I believe we start needs to support people like that.
Do you think ISIS is a real threat to the United States?
Yes, I do. I think ISIS is a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that we, how to handle it. It, you know, there's a lot of ideas out there, however, I just don't like.
So, should we be involved? Should we be involved helping?
A year ago, we were going to help those people go fight against President Assad in Syria.
Right.
Now, what happened? Are we schizophrenic here? I mean, now we're changing side at saying President Assad's a good guy now. I mean, you know, we got policymakers, and sometimes I think our policymakers got people around them is giving bad ideas,
mm-hmm.
and they need to come in out and get away from Washington to find out what common sense is again.
All our lawmakers go home for periods of time to talk to the folks and get the folks' opinion.
I'm sorry, Lindsey Graham's been going on news programs more often than he's been coming back to South Carolina. So
I think he's campaigning pretty hard.
Well, he has to now. Okay. He has to.
Okay.
So.
But I really thought that libertarians thought that everybody should fight their own battles.
Well, that doesn't mean I can't help them.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, you got.
So you believe in the airstrikes we're doing?
I don't think I think it's a good start, but, you know.
Should we put boots on the ground?
I'm not quite sure I'm going to go that far. I mean, if you want to hire mercenaries to do all that, and like I said, if we help the Kurds out, the people, you know, they're already there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that these people, the ISIS is terrorizing, but would like to have some, you know, be able to fight back,
mm-hmm.
you know, and give them the guns and teach them how to do it.
Okay.
We could have the visors there. We don't have to put, you know. And have them, you know, and help them out.
Well, I'm kind of the opinion. I think we just ought to get over there, get it done, and get it over before they continue to expand.
The problem goes back to 1916, though, Anne. The problem started after World War I because we made some promises over there, and some people broke those promises, and they're upset. And it's just like they're, you know. But you know, I see that they're a problem, and you know, and the Kurds are wanting to fight them, and I think we should help the Kurds out. I don't care what Turkey says about the Kurds.
Okay.
You know, that's their homeland. You know, quit meddling. You know, help them out, but don't try to micromanage the situation.
Okay. All right. We are almost out of time. One quick question, then I'm going to give you a minute to tell us why we should vote for you. Mm-hmm. But the Ebola. What's going on with Ebola? What do you feel about that?
We should not, all these countries, other countries are banning travel. I mean, we need to restrict, people coming in. I mean, it's just like, I said, allowed people come, the border situation. Only allow those who are not a threat to us to come in. And to sit here and give people carte blanche and say it affects travel, I don't buy that. So, and with the CDC, we're seeing that, the ineptness of the bureaucracy and stuff like that. I'm like, really, y'all have been living in a bubble too long.
Okay. All right. Well, you are listening to WCRS. I am here with Victor Koher. He is a libertarian candidate for Lindsey Graham's seat. He He has told us a lot about what he believes in. I hope you've gotten a good feel for it. And right now, I'm going to give you, Victor, you're listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood, 1 minute to tell us why you should be elected. Okay, Grace, hold on.
Okay, well, I am a common man and think it's time to get some common ideas back in Washington. And people can learn more about my campaign by going to victorforsenate.us.
And then, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. That's victorforsenate.us. And then you'll be able to go to my Facebook and you can follow what I really believe in and stuff like that. And get an idea of what's going on in my campaign.
All right. Well, I think Gracie is for you, Victor. She's getting all excited here. This is WCRS. Bye-bye, everybody.